G'day everyone, I'm Madonna Guy and this is David Scheel.
Hello.
And we're here with the Natural Alternative. Welcome. We're going to chat today about depression and anxiety, causes, reasons, sort of solutions. We always like to get to some solutions as well because so many people are just flailing around out there with depression and anxiety in these sort of conditions, and they just feel like they're treading water all the time. So David's a holistic counselor and family therapist, and I'm a naturopath and kinesiologist. So we've got a broad variety of experience to draw from. Not to mention our lives, haha.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? Like, you get trained in these things, and because especially with counseling, like all the people in your life over time, especially when you're older, they're all like good case studies. Because with counseling, you often know more about the people you know in your life because you might only get, like when you're counseling, you might, in the first two or three sessions, it's a few hours, but with the people you've got like
There's a
years
whole bunch
of
of data
data.
in there. And people might feel that's a bit uncomfortable, but I'm sure you've seen people in your world who study something. Doesn't matter what it is, whether it's, Reiki or massage or kinesio, it doesn't matter what it is. But they will be analyzing you because in their brain, they are spending all day, every day learning a new technique. So they'll actually be looking at the people in their lives and going, oh my gosh, that seems to be a bit like this. So it's actually a good thing for someone's brain when they're learning to be able to look at the people around them and they know very well and to work out certain things going on.
And especially if you've got some trouble in your family history, or in the environment around you, different environments you've been through. Because when you're older, you've had so many layers of relationships and different things that you can draw on to get a deeper understanding.
Do you have any idea? And I'm not sorry, I don't mean to put him on the spot. Do you have any idea how many Australians are on either antidepressants or anti-anxieties?
I
I
think
had heard it was about one in six.
there's something like that. That's 18%, maybe something like that.
So that's about one in six. And I heard that one in six-year-old boys is on the NDIS in Australia. So the NDIF
One
is
in.
like one in six. One in six, 6-year-old boys is on the NDIS in Australia, which is our national
What is India?
disability scheme.
Well,
So,
most of the stuff I've seen online, they call it the National Disability Scam.
well, it is.
That's
Well,
just what I,
it's.
because I haven't looked into it, I don't know.
Australia's one of a kind having this. It's totally ridiculous and it costs us an absolute bundle and there's a lot of people scamming it. It's quite crazy. But anyway, so depression and actually thinking about the little kids, depression and anxiety is huge for the parents of kids with disabilities. If you've got a kid in your home with anxiety or depression or ADHD or on the autism spectrum, the parents are much more likely to have depression and anxiety as well.
Because it's also very exhausting.
It's not great for marriages either. The marriages have to work really hard to stay together when you've got kids as well.
And that's hard, but when they get to be teenagers, I think, I've
Oh,
not
this.
mentioned this before, but by the time they're teenagers, parents have, I think by 14 or 15, they have 6% influence over their kids,
So the
which,
guilt can start letting go by that stage because what's the
well,
point,
you might be better off starting early. And what do they say?
with another kid, you might do better next
They
time.
say, be a shepherd, sit back and watch the show.
Wait for the grandkids, they'll be fine.
Because A, it's probably not your fault. It might be somewhat, but not your
Well,
fault.
so much influence out there that we have no control over as parents.
And parents blame themselves, and that's not fair to the parents, because often, unless it's abusive or really neglectful environment, most people are doing their best in parenting.
Most parents are doing the best they can at the
Did a
time with the
pretty
knowledge they
bad
have.
job.
Well, just even a really little one. I had a client in recently, and her daughter's, 10, 11, 12 or something. The dog had parasites. So the mum gave the daughter a general pharmaceutical anti-worming tablet.
As we
That
do,
poor
chocolate.
girl has had 4 weeks of excruciating pain.
Oh.
So, these things are not inert. People don't do them to injure anyone. They sort of just, but that mum's feeling really bloody horrible now because she was
Well,
back at the hospital again yesterday. These things can have really big ranging effects.
Yeah, and especially when most of the population takes them and they're fine.
Yeah.
And because the number of people with side effects, including kids, is smaller,
Yeah.
they're often overlooked or misunderstood.
Yeah, and adults who have a side effect, they're really likely to just go grab a painkiller or a something, or they know their body so well, they'll go to the fridge and just grab some, probiotics or digestive enzymes or some activated charcoal or your slippery elm or something, And anyway, so sometimes we get guilt from doing something silly as well, but you don't realize it's silly at the time until it sort of happens. But yeah, so within families, like if you've got one person who's struggling with a particular health issue, it's amazing how the rest of the family can end up having depression or anxiety.
Right. And generally, carers fatigue.
Yeah.
It's just exhausting.
Yeah. Within families, the old carers fatigue. And then other kids might end up with anxiety and depression because one of the kids who's more damaged is actually getting all the attention.
Right. So they're like a surrogate golden child. Because they get all the energy.
Yeah. So you just never, and then when you're talking about family systems and that sort of thing, you just don't know how that's going to impact on either of the children, the one getting all the attention because they've got something going on that needs a lot of care and attention, or the other one who's being accidentally missed out on because they don't have anything wrong with them.
Yeah, that's right. Well, one of the things we do in narrative therapy is with any condition, it's the saying is people aren't the problem, the problem's the problem.
Yeah, that's nice.
The problem's the problem, and you externalize it because the people have got a problem, but they're not the problem. Just
Yeah.
like if one of your kids is doing something bad or naughty, it's like they're not it's not you're a bad person, or what you're doing isn't the ideal thing. And
Yeah.
in our family therapy, we include more I statements.
Yeah.
And so I think instead of your, because it's usually when things get conflictual, it's often you, your and they, and but if you can stick to
Yeah.
I think this, it kind of separates you a little bit.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Very, very simple
Yeah, it is.
and really quite effective.
Yeah. It's, because it's really easy in a household where tensions are heightened because of some ill health going on for everyone to get heightened. So it's really easy for people to be blaming all sorts of things on people where everyone's just doing the best they can.
Well, and the best they can might be, because the other thing, a lot of patterns that come through that are either health issues or mental health problems, they're generational. And so you'll see that in the generations, that's how they managed anxiety or depression,
Yeah.
and they've done it back generations in a, and because there's so much more research now, there's better ways to do things than there used to be. So it's often just relearning.
Yeah.
When you come to therapy, it's relearning how to do something, because with family system therapy, you can go back generations and you make these family trees called genograms, and you can connect all the parts in the last generation. And you go, oh, so that happened here. Maybe a type of trauma or a type of neglect. You see that it's backwards,
Yeah.
and it'll go back, and it's sort of like we tend to do it like our parents did it,
Yeah.
and then the problems just keep coming down the generations, and it's good to recognize.
Yeah. I've never actually, I was just thinking about the Enneagram actually, as sort of like nine personality types that were sort of put together, and I'm a seven, or at least I think I'm still a seven. Who knows if I did the course these days.
That's
Maybe
interesting.
I'm not as fun as I used to be with, 18 years
I
of
used to
running a
be a four
business.
once upon a time.
Yeah, I'd still see you as a bit of a four.
Yeah.
Ooh. So where were we? That was a little bit of interruptus. So
Interruptus.
doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Depression and anxiety. Yeah, so family systems, family therapy, family stress can really create a lot of depression and anxiety across the board. And even within families, people can feel isolated and lonely.
Of course.
And we know that I think studies have been around for at least 20 years showing that if you feel isolated and lonely, even if you're not alone, that can increase your risk of all-cause mortality about the same as your risk of cancer if you're in a high risk. It's not
Right.
nice.
Well, long-term chronic stress, I mean, it puts pressure on everything. So, I was actually doing some focused study on it last week and this week, and so it causes worse cardio health,
Yes.
increases cancer
Yeah.
speed, And so, whether that's within a family system or in a social system, the more stress, the more chronic stress, like stress over time, can exacerbate just any disease, pretty
Yeah.
much.
And I was
And so,
just thinking.
something's in really stressful long-term environments where, like it gets a little bit worse than just family trauma. So the people in the family system and around might be intimidating people or harassing
Yeah.
people and maybe even stalking people. It's like the conditions that can develop are really chronic, and it's like slowly killing somebody, really.
Yeah. And it's, we've chatted a lot about insulin resistance and, so pre-diabetes, pre-blood sugar issues, pre-Alzheimer's and dementia, all of, insulin resistance is a huge thing because when we're stressed, our cortisol rises. When
Right.
our cortisol rises, our blood sugar has a really hard time balancing. It's one of the first things to be thrown out of balance when we're stressed and anxious and with high cortisol. So when we've got that insulin resistance, it lowers the amount of glucose that our brain can utilize. And
Yeah.
our glucose in the body, brain uses at least 20% of our whole body's glucose needs.
What, say that
It
again?
requires sugar, so natural
Right.
sugars, our brain runs on glucose.
Oh, so if you're, so therefore, let's give a couple of examples of those types of things. So if your family's in a stressed environment and you're on hyper, what do you call it?
High cortisol levels all the time. So
Right.
you've got hypersympathetic nervous system action. So it's got you ready to be in that fight
Yeah,
and
what's it
flight all the
called? The
time.
hyper,
Oh, the HPA, the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis.
yeah, no, but there's a word for it when you're on
Hypervigilance. Yeah,
hypervigilance. That's the
Yeah, so
slang term.
it lowers your brain's ability to utilize glucose, which it requires to function. It increases inflammation. So insulin resistance increases inflammation. It lowers your dopamine receptor ability to
That's
feel
right.
good. It raises cortisol, of course, and it
That's it. It can
messes.
mess up your dopamine system and your oxytocin system,
Yep.
chronic stress. Because I was actually looking this up the other day, and there was something. How do you reduce cortisol?
Well, that's all the.
Other than meditating and breath work, if there's
Oh, there's lots of herbs.
there's herbs that
Oh, there's
reduce.
lots and
What
lots of
type of
herbs.
things
It
reduce cortisol? Because I think it's a very common issue people have.
is.
Because it'll be either at work, might be socially, it might be in any system you're involved in. Because family therapy generally looks at systems and the impact of them.
So I love herbs like, and everyone's different. Because you can give a herb like valerian to one person, they'll sleep like a baby, someone else it'll hyper up. So everyone has to have a play with things.
So it's calmative herbs that reduce.
Calmative herbs.
Right.
So things like passionflower and valerian and lemon balm and Sisyphus and kava. There's lots of herbs that are calming on the nervous system. From the nutrient perspective, we need things like magnesium and glycine, to calm the brain. You can take things like St. John's wort, which is a natural SSRI. It actually helps to pick up your natural serotonin.
Right. Well, that
Actually,
seems.
Mexican valerian actually increases GABA in the brain, and GABA is really calming. So there's lots of things that you can do naturally. Saffron is beautiful. It's a natural SSRI.
Oh, saffron is, right.
So when you look at, of course, scientists and doctors will get angry at me saying that, but basically that's what we want to do. We want to feel our moods boost when we're
Thank you.
feeling.
It's funny, isn't it? Because everything that the medical, that isn't natural herbal, they're mostly synthesized herbal things anyway. And so
Yeah, they
that's,
found the good thing in nature and then they synthesize
it
and then
just
they get
seems,
angry at
it
us
seems a
for
little bit odd
prescribing
that they
at
get
them.
upset about it with, although there is a true fact about it too, that a lot of herbs do cause things like they can cause stomach upsets or sometimes diarrhea or a little bit of nausea sometimes, depending on the person.
Depending on the person, depending on what's going on, we actually have, even the nausea. Because I've been doing a lot of research into the TRIGLP lately, there's actually in your vagus nerve or in the rear of the brain, there's a nausea center
Right.
that's designed to make you feel nauseous if you're doing something bad for you. But when we get stressed and anxious, our liver can shut down because our blood supply gets so much more thick and viscous, so our blood supply isn't going through our
Right.
livers properly and we're not detoxing and we can feel nauseous, or if we take a supplement that actually releases toxins, we can feel nauseous. So quite often the side effects in natural things, absolutely, people can feel anything from anything.
And because they're often fairly short term with things, maybe you can, if you know that, you can go, all right, this side effect will just last for 3 weeks while I'm doing
But
this.
quite often people get so terrified that, for some reason, unlike taking a drug where the doctor says, well, you're getting this side effect, but just, take it for another 3 months and see how you go. At least you can halve the dose, or you can take a day off and lower it, or try it with food or away from a food, or, change the time of day you're taking it, because that really helps. And sometimes with nausea, but nausea isn't nearly always, but I did not know there was a nausea center.
Right.
That feet gets fed into via the vagus nerve.
The vagus nerve, the research on it's just
Oh,
incredible,
it's
isn't it?
fascinating. I love it.
It
And I think everything depression and anxiety is connected with the vagus nerve, because the vagus nerve, because it's wrapped, like we know it lands,
wraps around all the organs,
every organ of the
right
body.
down to the bottom of
So
the
that
stomach.
whole gut brain thing, so if you've got a child who feels anxious and stressed and has diarrhea or tummy pain before school, they're feeling anxious. Their gut is telling you, and it feels like one of those things where kids just say it to get away with something. And as soon as you're off to work, you see them at home, on their computer, and they're okay. But the anxiety's gone once they get told they don't have to go into the lion's den. If they're being bullied every day at work, if they're at school, if they're feeling like going to school, they're going to be bullied or picked on by kids or teachers,
Which isn't uncommon at all.
it's not uncommon at all.
And most a lot of kids won't report it even in the school, like they
Well,
won't
what's the
report it at
point?
home. Yeah, I know, because the way they manage it is really not, my experience with school is really not very good at all.
I wasn't a very.
Sometimes they do, sometimes they get it right, but
Because I was so young as a parent, I sucked as a parent. Thinking back, I really allowed bullying to go on at one of the kids' schools for way longer than I should have, until he actually got his head got rammed into a brick wall by three kids who were about a foot taller than him, and he had this cut on his skull.
Oh, really?
And yeah, and I went up there, and one of the priests said to me, it was a Catholic school, and one of the priests said, well, he was picking on them. And I'm like, they're all like a foot taller than him. Like, how dare you blame one short kid against three big tall kids in a class two? Anyway, it was amazing that I got sidelined.
Yeah, but see, so that happens because someone makes a complaint, the other side's got a right to respond. And it's very unlikely that people who are treating someone aggressively are going to admit what they do,
No.
because adults don't admit what they do often if you pull them up.
No.
And so,
Well.
and they, and that's how the learning is. And there's also things like snitches get stitches, and that's pretty well come down into society now,
Yeah.
because I
Yeah.
hear my kids say it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, because one of my kids got shouldered really hard by a kid a couple of months ago, still got a sore shoulder.
Yeah.
But I'm like, do you want to bring it up? No, because they're scared that if they bring it up, they'll just hit him harder. And because they know that the schools really don't have the ability to do very much, and you need a pattern as well.
Yeah.
Same with any type of abuse, you really need a pattern,
Yeah.
and you've got to keep an eye on the patterns. But at school, you've got large disconnected groups, and they all know, and a pattern can come. But the thing is, if it's different kids, like you said, three kids, one will get them one day, one the next one. There's no pattern because they're individual people, even though the pattern's a group orientation. Like recently, I won't say, someone I knew got mugged and threatened and intimidated, and a kid, 13 or 14. And when the police dealt with it, there was like 10 kids bullying. They stole property. They stole their phone, and when it went to court, only one of them was pulled up. But the problem is, it's the whole group. It was obviously gang aggression,
Yeah.
and the kids got all types of terrible nightmares, and all types of abdominal pain, nausea, because that effect on your vagus nerve is all here. So there's nausea
Yeah.
and it's
And
pretty.
breathing issues and heart issues,
That's
because the
then,
vagus nerve is around the heart and the lungs as well.
right. But
So
then,
that can all, create
but then
anxiety.
there's also there's a move between diarrhea and constipation,
Yep.
right? So it's like this complex of bowel problems
Yep.
because somebody was attacked,
Yeah.
and it's really and you know the, and they're separate bowel issues. Do
Yeah.
you know what I mean? Abdominal cramps, nausea,
And with what we were talking about the other day, you
and
know,
then
in relation to
constipation
feeling
and
picked on. So imagine after being mugged. I've got a similar story with one of my old gentlemen, and he was mugged on a bus, you know, a couple of years ago. And this is what you love about, you know, life in Australia. The camera on the bus was broken. The camera at the bus stop at the other end wasn't broken. He ran to the police and asked to get, no, he ran to a taxi and asked to get in the car. The bully, the guy who beat him up in the bus, he ran to the taxi and asked the taxi to stop. The taxi driver went to stop. And he's like, drive, he just beat me up. You know, and the police never did anything
It's
because every single camera was broken.
not uncommon. I had a friend whose daughter, he was on the bus taking her to her place. I can't remember what suburb it was
Yeah.
in. And there was a girl attacking on the bus and attacked off the bus. And they ran into an Officeworks where it was, because it was the only safe place to go. And then the Officeworks security had to do this whole thing, because that's increasing more, sadly.
It is, absolutely. We are quite divided as a country at the moment, and there's a whole bunch of weird
But
stuff
also, when
going
the
on.
economy gets more difficulty, these things are more likely because people are
Right.
more desperate.
Yes.
That's the problem when an economic, because we're in an economic downturn,
Yeah.
because all the prices are going up, inflation because of
Not enough
everything
housing.
else.
There's lots of homeless here in Australia, hundredth
Also,
of thousand.
but these aren't necessary. These aren't homeless people. The ones that, they're actually just,
Rat bags.
yeah. It's a funny thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That because interestingly, I was so this is what I was studying last week, because it was a case, and so when people do those things, when they're aggressive, right, repeatedly, they get massive dopamine hits. Like, it's similar to cocaine. When you
Yeah.
intimidate somebody, when you manipulate somebody and achieve the result,
Yeah.
right, you get this massive dopamine hit like cocaine. And so the people who do these things regularly, they're actually getting off on their own internal system, their dopamine reward system,
Yeah.
for doing aggressive things to other people. And I didn't realize that, because I was just going through the research, and it was like, oh. And so, there's a high from hurting other people and
Yeah.
even manipulate them. You get a high from lying, like any type of manipulation, because everyone's very aware of physical aggression, because
Yeah.
it's so intimidating and that. But emotional and psychological manipulation, lying, gaslighting, all those things, the person who's doing it is getting high from it.
Yeah.
Right. And then the problem, if that's generational, and you've grown up in a family like that, and you get high from, ripping people off and that sort of thing,
Yeah.
the problem is that the reason that it's hard for them to get out of it is because, same as if you're on a hard drug like that,
Yeah.
all the normal dopamine sources don't have any value anymore.
Yeah.
Because if normal dopamine sources, like yummy food and all the nice things we do, they're down here, and you
Yeah.
get 50, but cocaine's up here.
Yeah.
And so the highs they get are like up here, so they can't stop doing it because they're getting off on harming people.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that. And I was looking it up the other day, and the latest neurological and hormonal research is really quite incredible, what's been worked out in the last 20 years.
Yeah. Because I know that one of the things we talk about naturopathically is that the receptors on the cell walls, they will change depending on what you've got going on in your life. So, for example, you know, they estimate that every single cell has got like at least 500,000 receptors. The receptors are for everything. They're for magnesium and zinc and, you know, all your little GLP peptides, things like dopamine and serotonin and oxytocin. If you are doing something to increase that dopamine, or if you've been born, you know, so if this is generational from a genetic perspective, just say you had two high dopamine parents and you're born with a high dopamine need, you have high dopamine from day one. How is that little kid going to sit in a school going A, B, C, D, E, F, G? You know, it's not going to happen. They're going to need to have something to get their brain, you know, nice and balanced.
And the way it goes generationally, the young people who do that, who, attack people and this and that,
Yeah.
that they've often grown up in an environment, because there's two parts of it. So with the dark triad types, the
Yeah.
Machiavellian, the narcissist, the psychopath, not saying personality disorders, but those traits, not only they get high, but they do these things like intermittent reinforcement, like, it's mean all the time and suddenly they're really nice. And
Yeah.
that, and so they're also tuning the dopamine of the people around them.
Right.
Like they do things like love bombing, because that's the one way that dark personalities get together. They love bomb each other. Oh, you're so wonderful. You're so, well, it's not really sincere like normal people do it.
Yeah. Yeah, so it yeah. So it is. It's a bit of a challenge because kids are going to be having these altered dopamine things because mo lots of people are quite
Oh, was that already in your notes?
No.
Oh,
I
okay.
asked it when you were talking about that before. So it's basically talking about the dopamine rises during threat and dominance or
Right.
reward-driven aggression. And what it does is it messes with other things in the body. It messes with our magnesium. It messes with our vitamin D receptors. So again, from a naturopathic perspective, what we tend to do is want to clean up those receptors in the body and reactivate them. So, I always.
So kids with ADHD, they'll already have dopamine difficulties. So it's going to be even harder for them if they're in an environment where their dopamine's being really messed up by something
Yeah.
that's getting
And
higher.
I remember I had a kid years and years ago, and he had OCD. And I'll just sort of talk briefly about the little family circumstance. So the dad was a cop, so had that really hard ass thing going on about him. And the mum was just a cow. So she would literally call him the worst names imaginable
The
in front
kid.
of me. Yeah. And he was like maybe 8, 9 when he started coming to see me. So she's already hating on him. At me in front of a session in a session.
Which
So,
is
and you can
unusual.
imagine,
That's unusual already.
right. So eventually the parents got divorced, but that's neither here nor there. I'm not surprised because I couldn't have stood either of them. But that poor kid was hearing this from day dot. Now he had a bunch of physical symptoms as well. He ground his teeth so hard in his sleep that 2 rooms away, the parents could hear him grinding his sleep. Now, there is a sign because the vagus nerve comes up, it li lives in the rear of your spine, and it activates the length of your spinal cord. Now, when we are under threat all of the time, from the tip of our tailbone to the tip of the skull, in the side of the eyes at the sphenoid bone, and down here in the jaw, that whole thing compresses and it wants to protect you. When you are grinding your jaw, all day, every day, you have got an absolute sympathetic nervous system driven over untoned vagus nerve, and your body has no ability to
because
calm the bum.
everything constricts. It constricts blood vessels as
Yeah,
well.
yeah.
So it constricts the vagus nerve. That's
And
what
it
it does.
tightens all of the organs so that they're ready, so they're as small as possible. So they make the heart as small as possible, the lungs as small as possible, the liver and digestive organs as small as possible, so that when the tiger pounces, the claws are less likely to get in. So when you think
All
about
right,
it
so
from
the
a
blood goes to the
physiological,
center and
yeah, when you think about it from a physiological perspective, and it gets that cortisol going, and that stimulates the adrenaline to be in the extremity so that we can run and fight and climb and whatever it is we need. But yeah, but this poor little kid had OCD, and I was looking at his parents and going, well, don't blame the kid. He was a gorgeous kid actor. He was perfect. It was really interesting. He would be perfect with me. Every time he saw me, little darling.
See, this is interesting too, the reward circuitry.
Yeah.
So aggression upsets more than one reward circuitry because dopamine's one reward circuit,
Yeah.
but there's also prefrontal cortex, I can't remember what it's called, circuitry that's affected.
Yep.
And so different types of neurotransmitter or hormonal circuitries, reward circuitries are affected.
Yeah. And a lot of kids are on drugs that hijack it. So things like methamphetamines,
Well,
these
not little kids usually with that.
they get them on fairly bloody early.
Oh, well, I guess all the kids on ADHD are on some version of that.
Yeah, they are. I used to call them uppers and downers. They were on the amphetamines in the morning and the beta blockers at night. So they're just uppers and downers all day long. So yeah, yes. Anyway, so with depression and anxiety, there's so many causes. There's so many stories. There's so many nutrient deficiencies as well
But
that are linked with it.
sometimes it's a dietary thing because the microbiome, that's another research thing that they've made so many discoveries in. that works on the whole digestive system axis.
Absolutely.
So if people's microbiome isn't healthy,
Yeah.
it's very easy to get depressed without any external reason
Yeah.
or anxious.
So there's something called dysbiosis, that's pretty much a microbiome totally being out of whack. You've got the wrong combination of cybo, sypho, psycho, fungus, bacteria, candida. And basically that causes leaky gut. And when we've got leaky gut, we often have that leaky brain, leaky gut,
What does
that
leaky
tends to
gut
go.
actually mean?
It means that you've got loose junctions in the intestines. So all day long, your intestines are supposed to be gently opening and closing, and then they poke their little toe out into the bloodstream and say, "Oh, what do I need out
Oh, what are
here?
those little things called?
Zonulin or something?" No, that's in the that's somewhere else. That's in the end of your DNA strands. So with leaky gut, they're supposed to actually be opening and closing all day because 90% of immunity is in the gut. But what ends up happening is our it gets lazy, and the stuff that helps to connect all the little cells in the gut, I think it's the essential fatty acids. It's short chain fatty acids. It's vitamin A. It's vitamin D. And because a lot of kids don't like foods like eggs and cheese and whole milks and things like that, the good fats are the things that help to keep that really nice and healthy.
And that can also get damaged by being
Tumor.
it develops a coating on it.
Yeah, so you can end up, yeah, so on top of this little thing that's going in and out, if you have mucoid plaque, that sort of it doesn't matter if it's leaky or not, because you end up with this hardened layer above that called mucoid plaque, and that can then hold all sorts of stuff in as well, heavy metals and fungus and parasites
Because with
and
food, the general advice is to increase diversity of food types.
yeah.
And like so many things,
Get the ultra processed food out of the diet.
but so many types of say, it's a bit of a narrow-minded thinking, is always reducing what we do. So you see people's diets actually very simple, and they eat mostly the same thing every day that
Yeah.
isn't a broad variety of things.
Yes.
And so then you're used to that. It's hard to go outside it once you're used to it.
Yeah.
Because the same thing with if people don't have enough information and they become narrow-minded, by increasing the amount of understanding you have about different things helps you adjust to
Yeah.
the world better.
Exactly.
Diversity socially and life roles. You
Yeah.
know what I mean? Increasing the amount of roles you do.
Yeah.
So many types of diversity are really healthy,
Yeah.
and I find that really interesting.
Yeah, and all of the good fats in our diet, they're the things with the fatty acids. Fatty acids are so important. They're important
So,
for
is
our
there in
gut,
all
important for
types
our
of
brain.
seeds and nuts and dairy and
Yeah, well, with seeds and nuts, it's always best if they're activated, so they're soaked
right?
first. So, do you know about soaking your nuts? Ha ha. Sorry.
I never
So
did that.
I said that on radio once, and I was looking across from Roger, and he started laughing, and I said, "Hey, don't go there." Anyway, so like if you get some almonds, and obviously always best to be pesticide free and organic, whatever we can afford, but soaking them overnight in water and then getting rid of the water, it not only plumps them up and bizarrely enough makes them more crunchy, but you get so much more nutrition out of them.
Oh, similar to sprouts.
Yeah, absolutely. So by soaking your nuts and seeds, you actually get a lot more benefit out of them. Yeah.
Because 'cause sprouts are such an amazing thing.
Yeah.
Because they're what
Oh, they're full
well,
of life.
so you've got because sprouts is another way to eat things like beans and legumes that
Yeah.
aren't necessarily so tasty and harder to
Yeah.
cook or harder to make taste good actually.
Yes.
Whereas sprouts taste really fresh and they're more activated
Yeah.
and easy to metabolize. Is that it?
Yes. Yeah. And you actually activate a whole bunch of things in there. So, we love our Brokkon, the sulforaphane product. Ha. Happen to have one right here. Yoink. Anyway, so the old Brokkon, which is the 4-day-old, it's broccoli seed sprouts. And at 4 days old, they've got the maximum amount of this thing in it that basically activates the sulforaphane pathway in your body. So when you're eating sprouts, you're helping to activate a whole bunch of these detox pathways.
It's hard to get sometimes the sprouts, like, I get some that are like, there's like all types of beans. There's chickpeas, there's kidney beans, there's all types in a little container, because you can get the mung beans, they're in it too,
Yeah.
but mostly you get the what are the ones that are the long ones in Asian cooking? They're mung beans, but they're
Oh,
longer.
yeah. Anyway, it helps with brain plasticity and gut barrier integrity and neuroinflammation, all sorts of good stuff. So yeah, no, sprouts are a great idea to get it. But again, how do you get kids to eat this sort of thing? It seems pretty easy for adults when you're making a nice salad to just chuck a bunch in.
Introducing new things, it takes an adaptation, but often it's a funny thing that you'll get herbs right, and they'll be because we don't have enough bitter foods in our diet, or and so you have to take bitter herbs, or because it's like re reduction in diet, we need a very
The most
broad
horrible thing
type.
that you can buy in the supermarket, bitter melon. I bought one once. Have you ever tried to do bitter melon?
Yeah, bitter melon's really nice. You have to fry it.
Oh, yuck.
No, but if you fry it, you cut them into slices and you fry it, it's really nice. It's an Indian thing. And but it's really
Okay.
good for you.
Yeah, it's incredibly good for you. It's in a lot of metabolic function
Actually, it's
supplements.
hard to get now because where I live, we used to have lots of Asian shops, and because the price of the market's gone out, they all the Vietnamese shops have
Yeah, right.
they're gone, so we can't get them anymore. You see lots
Interesting.
of nice Asian vegetables that
Yeah.
you don't get in the supermarket.
Yeah. So should we finish with some solutions?
Yes, let's go.
Okay. So let's because of course the things that everyone's struggling with, chronic stress and the sleep isn't working, they've everyone's got trauma and inflammation and high cortisol and low serotonin. So the good old things that slow the dopamine and calm the receptors.
Slow dopamine.
Slow the dopamine. So,
Which I haven't heard of.
well, it's about exercise.
Right.
It's about sunshine. It's about cold
But they
exposure.
but those things create dopamine.
No. There it depends where we are on the curve as
Right.
well. So
Right.
don't forget that when you get lots of feel-good hormones from exercising, dopamine's more like things like jumping off a cliff to do base jumping or jumping out of a plane to do,
Oh, that'll be adrenaline.
No, but it's dopamine as well.
Dopamine as well.
Oh, massive dopamine. Why would anyone do it
Oh
otherwise?
no, but the exercise increases dopamine.
In some people, it
Right.
absolutely does not. And it's probably the type of exercise. So if you go for a walk, you're not going to increase dopamine.
But there's another type of dopamine thing too. Like when you finish some work,
Yeah.
you get a reward from that, and that's dopamine. Like just say you study, you do your work. And
Yeah.
then you get a dopamine hit at the end.
Yeah,
It
yeah.
works like, because it's a reward thing. It's a funny thing to understand how the pleasure works with, because same as dopamine, also oxytocin receptors, like, you do something cuddly or what, and you feel good. And
Yeah.
it's hard to measure what's really going on there,
Yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah. But people need to do some deep work and look at themselves as well because that helps to calm dopamine. Because quite often, when we're addicted to that dopamine, whatever it is, whether it's the
Oh, I see
alcohol or the
what.
sugar or the,
Oh, it's slow
whatever.
dopamine. I see. Compared to fast dopamine, drugs,
Yeah,
porn,
we need to
gambling, sugar.
slow the dopamine.
Oh, right, I get it.
Yeah, so
Sorry, I didn't
meditation, cold
understand that.
exposure. Yeah. But yeah, getting into that deep stuff. People have got to do the inside work.
Well,
And
often,
everyone avoids it, and I know it's a pain in the butt, but
counseling does that, and there's
yeah.
so many different types of therapy we can use to work and look at things, because self-analysis. Because we're very busy, and we have a
Yeah.
limited amount of information, and getting to the bottom of what the real cause is, because it's often socially,
Yeah.
that we're not where we're kind of flailing a little
And
bit.
that's where meaningful relationships come in, because if we've only got those surface relationships, you're not going to be getting that buzz from having a really good, deep,
Or
beautiful
so, some
connection
or
with someone.
sometimes it ends up if you're in a if you're anxious or depressed. Your diversity of relationships slows down, and
Yeah.
people isolate themselves.
Yeah.
And so, getting back on the
On the horse?
sometimes
Getting
if
back on
it's
the relationship horse?
yeah, because sometimes trust gets broken, or
Yeah.
all the things that you don't trust people anymore. So you isolate yourself, then it gets lonely, then the depression, the anxiety.
Yeah.
Then people often don't want to leave the house, so it's hard to exercise.
Yeah, and people have got to fill their life with purpose. Find something that gives you purpose. I've got so many clients these
Increase life
days.
roles, that's how I call it.
Yeah, and for me the fill the fear and do it anyway, the old Susan Jeffers thing. Make sure there's nine things in your life.
Right.
It's just a good number. Number nine, number nine, number
Number
nine,
nine.
number nine. Yeah, so when you're looking at what your life is about, if you're just sitting at home waiting for someone to call and feeling miserable, that's not filling your life with purpose.
Now, it's a funny thing that isolation in traumatic or difficult family systems or workplaces. It's hard to get back on get back on the horse,
Yeah.
you know, because the isolation is a funny thing when people become isolated.
Yeah.
And it's
And
like,
people only focus on what they don't have in that moment. They don't focus on what's happening long term. You know, so like one of my clients was telling me how miserable she is because she's got no, you know, she's got no close family members, she's got no close friends. And every time she comes in, she sort of complains about how no one puts her first. And I always think, well, people are married, so that's going to be their, you know, number one relationship. So you coming into the relationship as a third friend, that's a good thing for people to do.
Can be.
But it's hard sometimes, you know. And when you're depressed and anxious all the time, it's not a fun get together. You know, there's going to be a certain thing, you know.
Well, anxiety is worry, you know, and so if you worry, you know, it's going to be hard to pick up again.
So it's about expanding. Yeah, exactly. Your life roles. Got to expand those life roles so you've got more in your life so that when someone is not ringing the phone or getting back when you text, it's not such a big deal.
Because the funny thing is, sometimes it's like a missing part of self-love. Very, very often, actually, in counselling, there's a, because if you love yourself, you do that. Do you know what I mean? Because you do what's good for yourself. But when the self-love breaks down, it's like, you know, because of a bad relationship or this or that, you don't put yourself first. But if you love yourself, maybe you will put yourself first and prioritise yourself for a change.
So what's your favorite thing to do to calm the dopamine? You like dancing and
I
meditate.
like yoga and dancing and breath work, and you know, because I'll do yoga with music, and so I can breathe and move with the rhythm of the music, which is like having a battery or a, it's like being plugged in. Whereas without it, I find it very hard to do it without it. So finding something to inspire you to, and also, you know, songs last 3 or 4 minutes, and then by you've done 10 songs, you're 30 minutes in, and you didn't even notice the time going because you're listening to something you like.
Beautiful. Yeah, I like going for walks. I like big long
Yeah.
walks. And I'm naughty. I listen to podcasts, but you know,
But
I like them. I like them.
whatever inspires you
They keep
not
me
to not to
interested.
be bored while doing the difficult thing, because what's it called? Positive stress, the positive stress of walking.
Awesome. Anyway, hopefully. Find those things in your life. You know, make sure you've got, you know, a good broad range of
A good broad diet and a broad range of life roles.
Life roles. Whatever that is for you, because everyone's different and
Yeah.
you deserve the best you can be.
Whatever gets you through the night, it's all
It's all
right.
right. It's all right. Thanks, David. Have a good one, everyone.
Best well wishes.
Aha.